In last week's episode of Sourcecast, episode 93, I mentioned how difficult it could be sometimes to come up with a weekly topic. And I must have been using my Nostradamus-like abilities because this week, oh boy, through Thursday, it was a very slow news week. And on Friday, things started to open up a little bit. There was news that the T-Mobile and Sprint merger, first it was on, then it was off, then it was on, and as of this morning, which is Sunday, it is off again. As I started putting together show notes for that T-Mobile/Sprint merger, I realized that I don't care about this topic. Sprint and T-Mobile have been trying to merge for years, and they can't get their act together. And I said act. I didn't use the other word that I wanted to use. It's occupying a lot of attention in the press, which could go to other more interesting stories that I could thus use to make cool podcasts. So no, I am not going to give T-Mobile and Sprint even more attention. I like that there are four choices out there. There's more competition for the consumers. There, I said it. So, congratulations to me and my principals. Now I don't have a topic for the podcast. So I decided to start going back through the news that you can use blog posts, which used to be a regular occurrence on this podcast, highlighting any article that I thought was interesting. As I read back through the last few months of news that you can use blog posts, I saw a trail of breadcrumbs that I did not intentionally mean to leave for myself. I found a series of articles, most of them from Fast Company, covering an arc of career opportunity, starting from the interviewing process and ending with not getting a job. So when I strung all of these posts together, it told an interesting story. So this week, I'm giving you some career advice. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 94. So let's jump right into it. The first part of any new career is typically the interviewing process. But before we talk about the interview process, let's talk about if you actually want to go on an interview. If you're establishing your career in these modern times, the likelihood is that you will probably be contacted by recruiters. This happens to me a lot. And at the moment, I'm very happy with my career and where I'm at, but I'm also always looking for new opportunities and interesting things to do. So in my viewpoint, I never want to be closed off to these recruiters, but I'm also careful with my time because I don't have a lot of free time. In my opinion, you have to find a good balance between responding to recruiters and direct interview requests with companies, and also maintaining your personal time, whether that's your own career and your current job, because let's face it, most interviews will probably require a little bit of time off, especially if it's a face-to-face interview. You don't want to waste your time, and you don't want to waste their time. I found an excellent article from Fast Company by author Al Dia that kind of covers this topic. When it comes to interviews and being asked to go on an interview, even if it's a phone one, a lot of people will say, just take it because it's good practice. I literally just had that conversation with my wife. And I do think that that is typically the right cadence. Get the experience, get some new ideas, practice your responses to typical questions. You want to make sure you have time to prepare for the interview. If you go in and wing it, the interviewer is going to be upset. It's not going to do anything for your reputation. And if you're frequently taking these interviews, there's going to be a situation where you're going to have to take time off. You're going to have to give your boss excuses. So if you're busy at work and you're happy at work, and you're not 100% sure if this opportunity is going to be worth your time, don't take the interview. There's another caveat to this. If things are going well in your career, and maybe you think there's going to be an opportunity in your current workplace, and suddenly you're taking interviews for other positions outside the company, and this has actually happened to me. It feels like every time I'm up for something awesome at my current job, recruiters come out of the woodwork. It's like, where were you 6 months ago? It would have been great to have this conversation. Now I'm super confused. And there's a term for that. It's called the paradox of choice. It's great to have options, but when you have multiple options on the table, they can become overwhelming. So if you're someone who struggles with indecision, or if you're already thinking about multiple roles that you've applied for, it might be a good idea to avoid applying for a new job or taking an interview. It's something that you probably aren't interested in because you already have enough on your plate. Another point that Al makes in the article is that it could open doors. If there's a recruiter, especially a recruiter that is specialized in something that I do, I usually want to make contact with that person and be on good terms with them, not for now, but for the future. It's great when recruiters contact you. You want to have a good relationship with them, but you don't want to waste their time. But let's say you take the interview and you're really excited about it, and then you run into a situation where some executive or some hiring manager decides to be creative. In the early 2000s, when I graduated college and I was doing the whole interview circuit for a job, every interviewer had their fun, goofy question at the end of the interview. I remember a few of these. One was, if you could be any animal, what kind of animal would you be? And what do you say to that? If you pick like a dominating animal, like a lion or a tiger, they're going to seem like you're aggressive. I think the only way to go with something like that is like an eagle. You could say something like, I want to soar and see above all of the distractions. But I'm sure there's some psychological analysis that says that eagles are bad too. Another question that I recall was, if you could be any flavor of Dorito, what Dorito would you be? A question like that is simultaneously not trying hard enough and trying too hard at the same time. But those early 2000 questions, those are a joy compared to some of the situations that candidates are finding themselves in today. The Wall Street Journal recently published an article that describes situations where candidates are being asked to work out with their potential bosses. There is a part of me that actually really likes that idea. It's like that YouTube show Hot Ones, where an interviewer and the interviewee are eating hot wings, and the idea is that maybe people are a little bit more honest when they're distracted with something. Plus, if you can walk around and do something as opposed to being stuck in a stuffy office, I can see the appeal. However, that's a little aggressive. In the Wall Street Journal article, there was an example where a woman went on a job interview and was asked to go on a rather long hike, but was not told ahead of time. So this poor person came prepared for the interview in a suit and high heels, and then they're being asked to perform physical activity in those high heels. And what do? If you say no, you don't look like a team player. And if you say yes, you may look winded or sweaty or generally unprepared. There was another example in the article where a hiring manager named John Osborne, and I'm calling him out by name, would play basketball with a candidate. And he would purposely do things like step on toes and push them a little bit to see if they lost their cool. And that one got under my skin a little bit because that guy's taking some liberties with people. They're not just throwing free throws out there. He's checking and stepping on feet. And of course the candidate's not going to blow up at them. That guy is in a position of power and he is totally abusing it. But these creative job interviews, they're not always physical. Some of them are psychological. Another article from Fast Company by Anissa Horton details situations where hiring managers or CEOs of companies will deploy extreme tactics to determine whether or not a potential candidate is loyal and dedicated to the job. One CEO, Don Mail, asked candidates if they would leave their families at Disneyland to do something that was really important to the company, and he uses that to determine an applicant's work ethic. I understand that line of questioning. There was a period of time where I was on call for 4 or 5 years, and I got called constantly. A company culture that is constantly expecting you to respond to things, that's a warning sign. And for me, you also have to have some degree of boundaries. Because if not, I'll be in front of the computer or the smartphone responding to issues day and night. That's just my personality. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's okay for me to set that 24/7 expectation for myself. But when the company sets that expectation, there's an element of danger and malice to it. These extreme interviewing techniques, there are potential legal ramifications to them. Here's a quote from the Fast Company article from an industrial organizational psychologist, Dr. Brenda Fellows. And I quote, "Not only are there no true pros to these unusual interviewing practices, but it often leads to legal challenges if you are unable to show specific job requirements, whereas the practices demonstrate the job. This is a particular concern when it comes to exercise-based interviews, where the American Disabilities Act of 1990 bars employment discrimination on the basis of disability. Will the candidate who's physically unable to bench press with a gym-loving hiring manager be as competitive as a candidate who is?" My friends and I often joke about how tame corporate America is. It can be very bland. But here's the flip side. This is what happens when people try to get creative. There's legal ramifications. There are things that people don't consider that can be exclusionary. Most of the things that I read, I don't think the hiring managers and the companies are approaching the situation with malice. Except for that dude playing basketball. He seems like a world-class jerk. But these other situations, I really do see them as people trying to be creative and trying to figure out ways of getting people to open up. But there's a bigger picture. And I hate to say it, but there is a reason why things have sort of settled the way they did. Moving along, you've decided to go in the interview, you get the interview, you go through the whole process, and you find out you didn't get the job. What happens next? I recently read an article from Rachel Bite. This really applies to people who have applied for jobs inside their company, but there's some good advice here. The first step is to redirect your negative emotions. You might be upset, you may be mad, but you got to step back and cool off. If this is a new position at a company you're currently working for, if you act really upset or angry, it could negatively impact your reputation within the company. And also, if you react negatively with a recruiter situation and someone you've been working with for a while, and maybe they're trying to find you that great job, you have to keep your cool, step back, reassess the situation, readjust your battle plan. The next step is to receive feedback. Gaining feedback from an HR manager or a hiring manager can be difficult, especially if you applied for a position outside of the company. Once the company decides they're not going with you, you're lucky if you even get a notification that you didn't get the job. You just have to assume after 2 months of no contact that it's not happening. Although, side note, this just happened to someone who's very close to me. They applied for the job in the summer, and they literally just got a call last week, and it's October, November. So you never know when HR is going to flip a switch and reach out, which also has its own issues because it's 4 or 5 months later and you don't think the person's moved on. If they're applying for jobs, they probably want a new job right now. But I digress. Try to solicit feedback. Try to get working information to improve yourself. And then you have to figure out your next steps. Is this a situation where there truly was a better candidate, or were you the victim of office politics? You have to do your best to gather information about the situation and why you didn't get the job, whether it was performance related or other internal mechanisms working, so you can formulate the best response and the best decision to move forward. I can't end the podcast on such a dour note, so let's talk about if you get the job. How do you go about making new friends at your new job? According to Monster.com, there are 5 things that you can do. Number 1, put on a happy face. Nobody wants to be friends with somebody who looks grumpy, especially when you just got a new job. Why should you be so angry? Number 2, introduce yourself. Go out of your way to let people know that you're there, that you're new. Number 3, try to find common interests over time. Number 4, pay attention to the responses that you get. Listen to things that people are interested in and then maybe try to find that common thread so you can spark up conversations. Maybe you talk about Game of Thrones. Everybody likes that ice dragon. And finally, remember that there's no rush. And that makes me think of the time where I got my second co-op. I started this new position. I had just replaced this kid that everybody really liked. And here I am after a few weeks. I'm sitting in my cube. My boss was really nice to me, but everybody else that sat around me was very standoffish. It literally took me 3 months to really get a meaningful conversation with any of my cube mates. And that's really a testament to point number 4, pay attention to the responses that you get. Back then, most of the people that I worked with were musicians or played an instrument, and they were all gearheads. And I was a novice player who was very interested in learning more about guitars and musical instruments and amps. Long story short, that was my in. And I became really close friends with a couple of those guys. So when you keep your ears open, and you keep your mind open to new things and new experiences, you can really set yourself up for some pleasant surprises.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.